Hello again, this is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of CGW. I keep trying to come up with a different way of not doing that.
Hello.
But every time it comes out the same. Anyway, we're here for our first post-E3 podcast. And I'm here with the usual gang, which starting to my left are...
Ryan Scott.
Sean Elliott.
Darren Gladstone.
Scott Osno, the engineer.
You know what I think we need is we need a theme song to this podcast.
Totally.
Don't you think? Mm-hmm. Then I don't have to go, hello and welcome every time.
Well, actually, you still will because, the music will fade out and then you're going to be like, nothing.
You're right.
Well, how about we throw it out to the audience?
Maybe we could have them do a remix of you saying, like, hello, welcome to this podcast.
we should have a contest, hello? Like, whoever, like, our listeners, all three of them, that want to, like, just come up with the best, like...
You got another one?
Exactly. My mom's listening now.
Oh, cool.
Hey, we're up to the thousands now. Sweet. On our readers or listeners, aren't we? Mm. Yeah, we are.
Okay.
I think tonight at home I'm going to practice in the mirror some new, like, hi, different.
Or, what I tell other people is, write out your open.
Yeah.
Write out your close and actually, like, read it.
Right, but you have to say hello. I can't just start out with.
You can write hello and then read it.
All right, Sean is saying move on.
We're going to keep talking. Wrap it up.
Let's not talk about talking about the podcast. All right, we're going to start off. We had the whole E3 thing got in the way of all of our gaming, so now we're back. It was a normal week, and I assume for many of us that meant playing games. So what have we been playing? Anyone?
Well,
we know what Ryan's been playing, but we'll let him talk about it anyway. Go ahead.
All right.
Get it over with.
Guild Wars Factions.
You're wearing the t-shirt even, dude.
I am.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He is.
Wow, aren't you the promotion
He's playing
whore.
The game. He's wearing the shirt.
Hey, Guild Wars is awesome.
I'm not doubting that.
This podcast paid for by NCSoft.
No, it's still... I'm about halfway through the Factions campaign. It's still really good. I'm getting to the point where the two-player factions can compete over control of an area. Mm-hmm. So that's the next thing I got to get into and see how that works.
Can I ask you something about this game? Because I started playing it and I was liking it. But I noticed now that at the town exits, like to go into the instances, mm-hmm. there's all these like NPC dudes standing around that you can hire. Right. So does that mean I basically don't ever have to play it with other humans if I don't want to?
There are places in the game that you cannot get through with NPCs.
Damn it.
I mean, there's...
I hate humans.
Some of the story missions, once you reach the mainland, are just... I mean, maybe you could get through with NPCs if you're really good, but...
Which I am.
Well, yeah, I think you need the... Because I'm still...
You need,
I'm still playing the old one. Yeah, exactly. You need... It's like, okay, do this, because normally the NPCs just run in and just...
Sure.
Yeah, you have no control
have
over what those guys do.
Right.
So...
Yeah.
Okay, so they're just to kind of help you out at the beginning part?
Anything that isn't, like, one of the big, like, heavy story missions, mm-hmm. you can generally kind of get through with NPCs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're gonna need to make friends at some point.
Yeah. Also, can we officially stop calling this an MMO? It's not. How is this an MMO? It's just Diablo, basically.
It is.
Right?
But you walk through the chat rooms. That's the difference.
Speaking of MMOs that aren't NCSoft promotional hour,
aha.
Been playing Auto Assault.
Yeah.
And so
well,
for first.
They want to be an MMO.
It's an MMO in structure and everything, just not in player base. So I think during peak hours, they're hitting on the server, and I'm on the most populated server, which is called Breakdown, and I think it was like 240 players or something. And
240 players?
Right.
And not with three zeros at the end there?
No. So, we're going through this world, this ghost town. We're shouting out.
It's like
out,
one big parking lot, man.
Yell all. And we get like five different people. Sometimes we'll be playing for hours and we'll run into a person. It's crazy. It's like, we didn't expect to find you here. It's like all of a sudden you're playing Mario Brothers and someone pops up.
Does that add to sort of like the post-apocalyptic feel, that there's no one there?
It definitely does.
In some
people,
way, I guess.
People
right?
feel like they do. They decidedly act and talk like they're living in a doomed world. I mean, they're already talking about asking for pro rates for Tabula Rasa when that comes out. But the bottom line is I kind of predicted that, but now I feel I'm kind of bummed out that I did do that because I like the game. It's a fun MMO.
Well, it's not your fault that people aren't.
It's
playing,
all
Sean.
Your fault, Sean.
It's
I'm
not.
Gonna blame you.
I mean, I saw it coming, but it's actually a fun game because you know, all the boring stuff that you associate with MMOs, the walking here and there and the grinding and stuff, because it plays like an action game, it's actually entertaining, and you can cross such huge distances so quickly in your car, randomly run over things.
It is a lot of fun. I mean, the crafting is a little broken, though. And
crafting?
Yeah, there is some crafting. Like, you build car parts and you do all this kind of like tweaking up your car. And, like, okay. I pretty much ignore all that. I mean, like, I'm with Sean. I'm on the breakdown server as well. Maybe we should try to like have some kind of like massive firefight at some point.
Yes, but if you're playing, look us up on there. Our clan is Mingo's Marauders, named after Mingo, a random NPC who wants us to go and wipe out the populace of this canyon village. And you go in there and it's nothing but a canyon filled with crates. It's like some crazy crate stacking culture.
Yeah.
So we're doing it and we realized we probably killed a good, 5,000 of these people.
And they keep coming back.
Why are we doing this? Mingo said. And Mingo's just like some random guy out in the desert. So we just were like, all right, well.
But you guys really do like the game, right? You're not.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it kind of has. Yeah. It's just a straight-up action game. You're taking jumps. You're shooting at things.
No, I'm serious. I like it. I mean, it's fun. Half the fun, I guess, is kind of talking crap when you're playing. And it's buggy. It's, a lot of stuff like that. But also, sort of in its favor, because there's so few players, or NCSoft's customer service is just really effective. Anytime I've had a problem and I've sent it in to a GM, they've been there to help me right away.
Right. They're probably just glad someone's there to help.
Yeah, you get that extra attention. But like I'm saying, it's a fun game. I mean, I don't play so many, straight MMOs because I quickly tire of the grinding for the next thing. But it's one where I'm still playing it, a week later and definitely enjoying it. I just wish more people were there now.
Are you playing with the gamepad or keyboard and mouse?
I play with keyboard and mouse, yeah.
I do both. It actually works either way.
Yeah. I feel bad for this game.
I think it's been hard to categorize, and also it seems like it might be one of those games that would benefit from a no monthly fee thing.
That's a huge part of it, I think. So yeah, like you look at it.
That's
like
been
an
the one
game.
Main thing that's kept me out of D&D Online. That's kept me out of World of Warcraft, and all of a sudden it's like an extra $10 to $15 a month.
Another thing keeping out of D&D Online is the fact that it's crap.
Small point.
Yeah. Well, the one trial time that I did playing it, and the group that I was with is actually it's Lloyd's Friday Night Follies crew.
That's a hip group.
Yeah. So we were able
to, sorry.
Well, no, Mingo's Marauders.
I love you, Lloyd. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll explain that later. But I mean, it was fun. The interface was okay, but it's not worth the extra $15 a month to me. It's really not.
That's a big thing. You're only going to be, most people are going to be playing one, MMO, and when it comes to that, paying one monthly fee.
Yeah. How do you convince everybody you're the one that should get the $15?
Guild Wars. They should have gone that route with it, the free.
Yeah.
Instance. And look, it wouldn't have mattered anyway, too, because anytime you're playing, you only run into five people anyway. Which is still a good, three shy of a Guild Wars party. another thing about it that bothers me is that it's one of those MMOs that was trying something different. We've covered,
tracked
MMOs
and
CGW for the past months, and we looked at, what are some other options to get us out of the ogre, troll, elf, paradigm. And it's a good example that, hey, it is possible, but I don't know if it's going to prove fiscally possible.
Maybe people don't want out of the elf, goblin, troll paradigm. I don't know.
Are people not ready for it? I mean, how is City of Heroes doing? I mean, that was totally outside of the that whole paradigm.
Well, the City of Heroes and City of Villains is more still along the fantasy line.
That's true.
It is, yeah.
But it is different, though. I mean, they're all, when you look at it, like Auto Assault is essentially, Guild Wars or whatever on wheels. I mean, you have an engineer is your mage or your monk. Mm-hmm. Your tank is an actual tank, and it's like basically it follows the same, the same format.
Yeah. Well, maybe more people will play. So what's the name of that server again?
Breakdown?
It's one of four.
Yeah, seriously.
It's the one that's low population.
Right.
Others are very low.
That's so sad.
Very low.
Yeah. It's actually tumbleweeds across the main screen as you're trying to log
something,
in.
It was something like that. If they want to pull people into the game, they should just make it gratis. Pay for the software and just let people go for it.
Right. Well, they probably will head that way, right?
Or at this point, take all those four servers and collapse them into one, so then we can,
have real battles.
Run into people now and then.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll stick around. That's a fun game. I'd like to see it grow. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
So we've also been playing Sin.
Definitely.
Right?
I've been playing a lot of Sin. How far did you get?
I just got past the mutant boss battle.
Does Sin get better after the first minute, that first opening cutscene with the woman's breastages in your face there?
Oh, is it? It's a little more subtle after that, yeah.
It is? Okay.
It's just those first two moments you're like, yeah. It was so hard to explain. Like, my fiance is watching me play this game, yeah. And like, of course, as the game's starting, and it's so hard to explain. You see this digitized woman in a bikini, like, just like,
yeah,
shaking her ass in front of me. I'm like,
it's like the, you know, Image comics, but, you know, during the early 90s, Image has changed since then. But it's definitely like of shooters. It's the Image comics of shooters. Mm-hmm. You start off with the TNA, and then the first thing the female character says as you're driving in her car to a guard is like, you know, hey, we're going to, you know, meet us at the corner of F and U or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know.
That's edgy.
Yeah.
That's street, man.
It's kind of. But it gets better after that. But interestingly, there's a lot less story after that. And this is one of my concerns with the game is that when, you know, we kept talking about is this a viable model, you know, episodic content.
Right.
And they
what are you paying for an episode?
One, they needed, it was $20. But first, I think they needed to come out of the gate really strong with this because they need you to say, I have to come back and see what's next. And you can't have any people that are like, oh, I still haven't even finished the first episode. Should I get the second one? It has to get it to work. You've got to be addicted. And I think story is, and narrative is a great way to get people coming back, you know, leaving unanswered questions and whatnot. But then as you start playing the game, there really isn't much there. You know, I mean, there's stuff on the wall and there's cutscenes now and then, but there's not really much of, you know, of a plot that I see. It's a lot of guys that come out that wear the same yellow and black jumpsuit.
Yeah, there's different, you know, I agree with you. There's, like, this, you know, a lot of the similar monsters, you know, and bad guys you're going up against. And the story is kind of slow going. If you make it to the Sin HQ, the Sin Tech headquarters or whatever it is, one of the places, it's so disposable, the plot right now. But there is a story there. It's just they're kind of stringing it out so far between.
Right.
And the thing is, like, I'm actually going to the trouble of exploring every nook and cranny of the game, so I'm actually, like, stretching out the experience longer than most people.
I've been, too. I've been calling every single phone number, looking in every drawer, and I'm not finding, all I'm finding are one-off gags.
Exactly.
I'm not finding any, you know, I'm not rifling through someone's cabinets and finding some backstory or file that lets me into the process like I was led to believe would happen, or calling my radio to talk to Jessica and other, you know, the other NPCs. Instead, it's a lot of really funny gags. Like, in one case, there's the one about
graphics
tension experts, right? And, you want to fill that in?
You know what? You're the
don't spoil the joke,
okay.
Though.
Okay.
All right. Well, look for the number. It's 1999.
What is the general synopsis for this game, though? You know, you
shoot stuff.
That's basically it. You have three weapons, you shoot stuff.
Okay.
An original take for a game.
It's some decent, you know, it's some decent AI and level design.
Well,
it looks
good. Yeah. Actually, I like the layout, and it's a good start. I feel like there was more of a story that could have been there.
It's not phenomenal, you know.
Right. What you said before about, you know, needing the hooks to keep you going to the next one, I mean, that they need to learn from things like 24 or Lost,
right.
You know, where it ends and you just can't wait to get to that next piece. I mean, there's probably just not good enough writers on these games.
And it's why I think I'm coming at it a little more skeptical than usual, you know, just because it's like it needs to be that phenomenal to get us to come back.
The thing is, the backstory is there. I mean, it's not like they haven't done their homework. It's just the thing is they didn't, like, put two and two together. If you remember from, like, Doom 3 or Half-Life 2, you can go anywhere in the world and you can find these little elements. In Doom 3, it was the PDAs and they had all this backstory stuff that filled in some blanks. Mm-hmm. And then in Half-Life 2, it was, like, you know, little cues in the world you can interact with.
Mm-hmm.
And they need more of that in this game.
Right. And what Half-Life 2 has got going for it when the episode comes out is it's got such a big, well-known and clearly defined overarching question that's lingering. Not only what happened since the last one, they've already got us there, but also it's just, you know, we're still asking who the hell is this guy pulling the strings behind it. And so, I mean, I think that'll be a big help for them. And if they play that off the right way, and you want to know what happened to Dog and all these other characters from it. And these are things that Sin, at least, if you weren't, you know, diehard into the original game that came out back when, it's not
and
coming
who was?
Out with.
12 people? I mean, who even remembers that game?
I remember the game, but I don't remember getting that hooked on it, but still, I'm not going to throw any spoilers out there, and I think I'm getting close to the end of the first episode. There is one point that could be a cool jump off for the next episode. Just a matter of how they end this one.
Cool.
Because already, like, the mutant boss you're talking about, you fight him again.
Oh, great.
So it's like, let's rehash the same assets again.
On the good side for it, I like jumping into it knowing that it wasn't going to be very long. We talked a lot about the length, and it was cool to say, like, I've got one day here. I've got an afternoon, and I don't have to jump into this, and like, you know, like Oblivion
and
devote all this time to it. And another thing quickly on that is the dynamic difficulty adjustment, where basically the game is looking at how well you're playing and ramping itself up accordingly.
That's nice.
At first, it was a little too steep, because if you did a few headshots, it would come at you immediately, and it would just be
brutal.
Impossible. They'd be pistol sniping you from, you know, 1,000 yards. But they patched it since then, and I think it's really one of the stronger features of the game.
Mm-hmm. How long is it?
People are saying that it's anywhere between
6 hours,
roughly.
Here for shorter games.
But cheaper games, too.
If they're priced appropriately. Yeah. So I've been playing Heroes 5 all weekend. Heroes of Might and Magic 5. And I'm liking it a lot better than 4, which I thought was terrible. But now I'm getting a little soured, I have to say, because it's just not done. This game needs a patch pretty bad. Yeah.
Our contributing editor, Matt Peckham, was mentioning that it took him about 7 hours before he was really getting into it.
Yeah.
Which seems like I don't know. I'm not used to that. It seems like almost backwards, you know.
It's pretty steep. And I got stuck at one mission that took me, I swear, probably 15 to 20 hours to finish this one mission.
Just
the map
mission
was huge. That it was impossibly difficult on the normal setting. And I thought, maybe I'm just stupid or something, but I actually went to the official forum, and that's the one mission. You know how some games have a mission where everyone's just like, how the hell do I beat this mission?
Right.
That's the one where, so I was glad that was there. But there's this, like, totally random stupid bugs, like, you know, you're looking at your army, and this is a hard game to describe if you haven't played it, but, you know, you have an army of characters, and they're listed by number of units, you know, literally a number, like you have 84 goblins. Well, there's a bug so that the numbers are off once you start fighting, but that's key to the whole strategy.
Right, because
I need to know
superiority.
I have 84 goblins going against whatever, 64 steel goblins.
What if your
golems.
Wife heard you right now?
I need to know how many goblins I have. But you really do. I mean, it kind of messes with the whole game if the numbers are wrong. It's all about the numbers. So, I don't know. Kind of unhappy there.
I mean, was it pretty obvious that it was rushed out the door? Is it something that, like...
Well, that's what it makes you feel. I mean, there's a post on the official forum that the header is like, so what exactly did the play testers test, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how I felt. I mean, it was such a basic thing that's wrong. It just makes you wonder.
Say that's patched tomorrow. What's your take on the game then?
If it's patched, I'm completely happy.
Cool.
I mean, because I like it even with these annoyances. You know, I can sort of remember in my head how many goblins I have, you know.
Goblin count.
Quit laughing at me.
Bean counting.
He actually has a goblin counter. He clicks off.
I just lost another 20.
Ready, Masters?
I'm not ready.
Okay, so let's move on from that. I know Ryan wants to talk about Lost. We got the official announcement today, was it?
Yep.
That Ubisoft snatched up the license for a Lost video game. And we know, how many people are watching that show right now?
Half the world at this
half
point.
Half the world. So not a bad move on their part. But will the game be any good?
I'm not having CSI.
A lot of people watch CSI. And that, they got that CSI three dimensions of murder.
Of murder.
Okay, can we think of one TV show that turned into a good game?
Desperate Housewives.
Oh, man.
That's not out yet. Don't laugh. It could be good.
Right. That's true.
Let me see.
I don't know if there's any precedent for a good... Well, 24? 24 that
was,
get good
was
reviews?
Decent, I think it was getting like sevens, pretty average kind of stuff. It was all right.
What do you think, Ryan?
I don't know. I'm having terrible visions of that ER game.
Well, the only saving grace for me here is that it's UB Montreal. And they don't make crap, at least not generally, not usually. So,
well, what would you? Yeah. I want to know. There's so many questions.
What would the game entail?
Right.
If it's not getting the duct tape and the cat hair to rub them together and do this or that,
right,
you know, to get through the gate.
Oh, so you play Gabriel Knight as well, huh?
Right. Gabriel Knight 3, wasn't it?
Duct tape it.
Worst adventure game.
No, no, no. You had to make glue to make the fake mustache.
I thought you used syrup.
Syrup,
that's what it was.
The hair.
God.
Ugh.
But I was talking with one of 1UP's guys earlier today, and he was like, you know, what are you going to do? Just, like, see something weird and then not tell one of the NPCs about it?
Well, just and like also, who are you? One of the regular like sweat hogs? You know, one of the main characters, or are you like the one of those background guys?
I think it'd be cool, yeah, if you were just like
plain guy number five,
survivor, right. Yeah.
Dude, but I want to be Hurley.
Who would you want to be if you got to be one of the
who's
main
that fat
dudes?
Guy?
Hurley.
You'd want to be Hurley?
I haven't watched
that's who they all think we are. I mean, gamers are all Hurley, right?
Mm-hmm. I'd probably want to be Locke.
You want to be, what's her name, the DUI girl?
Rodriguez? Michelle. Yeah.
They killed her on the show.
Oh, way to
She's
spoil
gone.
It.
Well, dude, come on.
Okay, that was 2 weeks ago. I guess it's fair game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ideally, I'd want to be Echo. You know?
Tap your inner soul man?
Mm-hmm. As it were. Or Locke.
Ideally, isn't this is game going to give you guys some additional, you know, piece to the puzzle that
That's
you can get
probably
else?
What everybody's going to be hoping for.
But they won't.
And complaining at the same time, too. I mean, because it's just like you've got to buy, you know, Infinite Crisis tie at number 47.
They won't do that.
The Lost people, I don't know if you guys read any Lost forms, but the people who watch that show are pretty obsessed.
Well, aren't they selling some novel that's a tie-in? And it,
right.
Yep.
Bad Twin, is it called, or... Evil Twin? I forget what it's called.
Yeah, but how does that tie in, though? Is it like, are you missing something if you don't read the book?
Apparently not.
It's in the book.
So then, I mean, hopefully they follow the same kind of theory with the game.
The novel, it's something that was, like, it's a manuscript that's found on the plane in the TV show. And Hurley's reading the manuscript. And so now they're selling that book as a novel in real life. And apparently in that novel, they have these sort of like cutesy references. Like one of the characters mentions John Locke, the philosopher, which is, of course, the name of one of the main characters on the show. So they sort of have these, aha, that's just like on the TV show moments for those who are stupid enough to buy the book.
When they're using their goblin counter.
You know, there are a lot of other books in the show that, like, they'll show them in the show and people will go out and buy them just because they're hoping they can get a clue by reading the book that was mentioned in the show.
Right. I'd say the precedent here, probably not good. I mean, just if you look at the history here of TV shows as games. But maybe this one will be different. I don't know. Ryan will buy it. By the way, can we mention the fact that because Ryan's sitting here, I didn't actually shoot Ryan?
Because apparently that needed to be said.
Because we did that as sort of a joke promo piece for the other podcasts, and I guess a few people out there were offended.
Yeah, to the guy that sent us that email, it's okay. I'm still alive.
Help him.
What do you say, Scott?
I'm shocked. I'm honestly...
Shocked that people were shocked?
Yeah.
Was it more than one person or was it just that one dude?
As far as I know, it's just that one dude. You never know. I mean, it could be like, oh, I'm never going to listen to this again because they're going to kill people. And it's like, oh, please, people, get over it. It's a gag.
Okay. Let's move on from
that. We've been messing with.
We've got all sorts of cool, fun gadgets at CGW lately. That's always a good time.
What little toys have you guys been getting?
Well, it's kind of offshoots from being at E3. We got a chance to sneaking through Kensho Hall. You always see some cool stuff. Now I know Sean was hooked on the. Was it the gaming mouse too? And not the frag pedals that came with it. But
the gaming mouse, yeah.
The gaming mouse.
And that. Well, first off, I thought we were going to talk about the Novant Falcon.
Well, I was going to say the best for last. But
okay, so the
what?
The gaming.
The Novant Falcon. That's the haptic controller.
So the gaming mouse. It's a mouse designed for gaming.
But, really?
No, it's basically, rather than, you know, the usual way that a mouse works where you're moving your wrist and your arm, all you're moving are your fingers. It's a small round thing you hold between your thumb and forefinger. And so it's very sensitive. The slightest movements.
It's like a hockey puck size, right? Just like.
That makes it sound bad. It's smaller than that. That makes it sound like the Mac mouse, which is horrible. The hockey puck thing. So it's really sensitive and has buttons on the side where your thumb and pointer finger touch. But just because of it, what I liked about it was that, you know, small movements were very precise. It was easy to aim and whatnot. But then for a game like a Battlefield where you're switching between on-foot play to a jet or something, and a lot of people ordinarily there would switch over to a controller or a flight stick, so you can, you know, do implements and more complicated maneuvers. You could just do it with the mouse because you just move it a little bit further on the desk and, you know, just like a few millimeters, and that's the equivalent of like picking your mouse up several times off the pad and sweeping it to the left and then putting it back down and continuing that. So I just thought that was pretty neat for that reason in terms of being effective. And it comes with some, if you want to buy them, it comes with some foot pedals, which I don't know about those. I mean, I guess for jumping or something, if you really need to tap your foot.
Or if you're a drummer in Def Leppard.
Right.
Foot pedals, you mean like, for what, like accelerating in a... racing game? Those
kind
of pedals?
They were using them for jump and fire in Unreal Tournament.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know.
That's kind of when it's time to go outside.
The thing is, it was it's $80 for that thing too. That's a really rough.
But you don't have to get the foot pedals.
Oh no,
it.
No.
When I told people that the gaming mouse is cool, all they could think about were the foot pedals and were laughing at me.
They were pushing.
You can't buy foot pedals if you're in a relationship. You just can't. You can't bring that home.
But at the same time, really hard sell. The haptic device that we're about to go crazy for.
That is awesome.
It looks even worse. It looks like some dental cleaner that sits on your laptop.
Seriously, it looks like something like out of a torture. It looks like a torture device, but it's by far the coolest thing I saw at the show. Like, way revolutionary controller. Forget the Wii remote control. Mm-hmm. This is the shit.
You can't say that.
Oh, yeah, you can.
I don't want you to say that.
It's just stuff.
It's the
shiznit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Word dog. Anyway, no, but I can't really. It's meant as a mouse replacement, and it operates in like. It's a haptic device. It operates in free space. So basically, you push in, you move out, move in all directions. It can convey weight.
Wait. So you don't hold it?
It doesn't
sit on the desk.
No.
Haptic, real quick, just means of or pertaining to the sense of touch.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Elliot.
Our Webster moment.
Yeah. Hey, well, a lot of people are gonna be like, "Hap what?
Hap what?"
So go on.
No, but it was kind of crazy. So they had some base. I'll just, you know, the best way to describe it is with tech with demos that I played. So they have one, like, it's like a basketball, like a tech demo, and actually you can feel the ball in your hand as you're lifting up the knob and just, mm-hmm. and you hit a, and you hold on, like, you know, left, right mouse buttons, and you release the mouse button, and you can feel the ball leaving your hand, like as if you're taking the shot. And
it does sound a little like the Wii controller.
No, it's not. It's attached to your, it sits on your desk, mm-hmm. and there's like little arms that feel, you know, come off of it. So you're just kind of moving it around. And then when you're, let's jump to a first person shooter.
Okay.
That's probably a better example. So they had a Half-Life 2 modded with it. Now you shoot a 357 Magnum and you feel the kickback on the gun.
But again, you have to say, I mean, people are probably thinking, you know, they're making the inevitable analogy to a rumble pad in a controller.
No, it's not like that at all.
But it's not like that at all. I mean, you feel, basically what it is a little ball attached to three arms, and then there's a servo motor behind each of those arms, and they're running mm-hmm. at different degrees of resistance. So because of that, without having any weights or inside there, they're able to create that resistance. So as you're holding a gun or a crowbar, you feel the different weights in your hand. You know, obviously it's not exact one for one because you're going to get, fatigued in a second. But so if you're hitting a crowbar against a chain link fence, it resists at a different feeling than if you're hitting mortar or something, or shooting a shotgun.
Or flesh.
Right.
Face.
Meaty flesh.
And then when you use the physics in there
like
to just pick up straight objects, you can feel them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the neat thing is it's not just a uniform weight. All of a sudden it becomes heavier, but it becomes heavy in relation to a fulcrum. So if you mm-hmm. say if you grabbed a ball on a rope and you swung it around, you can feel the centripetal force pulling as the ball passes around, you know, mm-hmm. passes around.
That's right.
Circle.
I saw someone else playing that demo. I didn't get a chance
to
show.
That was really
cool. But how much is this contraption?
Well, that's the thing is they're targeting having it go for $100 when it comes out in 2000.
Okay.
And so they're trying to it's going to have an initial run for $150 probably by the end of this year. Then when it goes into full mass production, $100 by like early 2007.
The other neat thing about it is that it totally, you get that sense of texture. Did you do the demo where you run your, like, mm-hmm. equivalent of running your hand over balls of various surfaces? So they could be corrugated, it could be sandpaper, it could be ice. And you definitely feel as if you're running your hand over something.
Kind of cool.
So in a game, I mean, just take Splinter Cell right off the bat, like, you know, the lock picking or something, and it could feel, or hot wiring a car or something we saw in Alone in the Dark. I mean, it would feel like you could feel the textures and actually match it up that way, and mm-hmm. it would be entirely
based on
the
layer
sense of touch rather than mm-hmm. you know any correlating to anything on screen.
And they said like when they modded the Half-Life 2 for the show, it took one programmer a week or two.
Right.
So I mean like that's just one guy doing it, but if you had like a whole team mm-hmm. of guys dedicated creating the algorithms for the different
games. It's the problem. But, I mean, when we just did our interface story with PC is that we can't ever have someone, you know, outside of Microsoft uniformly enforce a new interface.
That's the thing.
And because of it, it's like it has to reach critical mass somehow, but how is it going to do it unless it's attached to, you know, unless you know, Crytek says, hey, Crysis 3 is made for this thing.
Right.
And you can get it when you pre-order. And if there's some way like that to get it to enough
hands, I guess consoles do that
start,
a little better, huh? I mean, a game that makes you buy the, you know, the music, whatever it is, the maracas.
Right. And a developer, you know, and it's kind of like that symbiosis where you've got to get a good developer who says, let's look at this. And like the very best, you know, Nintendo DS games or the Wii games that really stand out are the ones where the developer is programming specifically for that interface. Now, of course, that's you know, economic suicide for any programmer to do it for a device that like 10 people have.
Right. I mean, maybe it's just too much of an uphill battle. I mean, look at the whole history of PC gaming, and it seems like practically every controller other than keyboard mouse fails. Even when Microsoft puts it out. You know, they couldn't make their Sidewinders work. I mean, do they even make controllers anymore other than the Xbox 360? I think they're out of it.
Yeah, they consolidate into the gamepad. But, I think one way they could do it is if they make a reasonably priced product. Like, you know, if you look at how much people are paying for these high-end gaming mice, I mean, they're going for as much as $70-$80.
Yeah.
If you could justify giving somebody that much, and that's just a gaming mouse. That's it.
Yeah.
If you can give a really unique experience and not make it that much more than what you pay for a gaming mouse, I could see some people wanting to get into it.
Yeah, the best case scenario is when this thing comes out at the end of the year, they'll have it coded so that it will work with a wide variety of games people already have, and it will enhance the features on those. And then in Dreamland, you sell enough of them so that someone, you know, a Warren Spector or someone could come out and say, hey, or like the guys that, like Marcus Healy, who did Ragdoll Kung Fu on Steam, will come out and say, hey, let's make a game for this.
Right, you need the killer app.
Absolutely.
You need like a BioShock or something, or Crysis or something to say, to use it completely, right, organically.
Well, when I talk to people at the show, they said that they are looking to provide this, you know, code base to help people out and just throw it into their games.
Right.
And there was actually a lot of buzz about that device at the show. I mean, if you look around, it was on like, you know, AP picked it up, a bunch of places. And
can you send me the info? I want to pitch it for DLTV.
Sure.
Yeah, check it out. It's one of those things
it's totally worth checking out.
You know, as soon as you try it, it's where you just kind of like marvel at technology, and it's just fun and it's giddy and you want to go tell someone about it. And it was especially that way because it was in Kentia Hall, which is known for being the place where, you know, but I guess you throw enough sticks together and two of them make a spark down there once in a while, and they did, you know.
No, actually, they usually have, I mean, at least one or two good things come out of there every year.
Yeah.
All right, well, Scott, the engineer, is giving me the little wrap-up sign.
I was just going to move on.
I'll move on from this boring topic.
Oh. Well, not from the boring topic, but don't you have some emails and stuff?
Do we? We have one. How long are we on?
It better not be about bunions.
You got about, you're up around 30.
We're up at 30 minutes. Okay, we'll address one question. We have a few, and folks, keep asking even if we don't answer them all. We just, you know, we'll get to them eventually. Oh, and one other order of business. Those who responded to my request for the tarot cards, the Heroes 5 tarot cards, we have our winners, and as I told you guys, it's just going to take a little time post E3 to get them mailed out. But they're coming.
We'll have to come up with a contest for all those Guild Wars Z boards we have. The one interface alternative that sticks around.
Right. We're going to have a giveaway, not this week, but stay tuned. We're going to give away some, what are they called? E-boards?
Z-boards.
Z-boards.
With the Guild Wars factions overlays as well. So.
Yeah, I'll send one to anybody who volunteers me to run me through the last missions in the original campaign, which I'm trying to get my guy through.
There you have
it. We've got shirts and Prima guides to go with those, too. Right.
We've got all sorts of Guild Wars loot to give away.
And I'm sure by next week we'll have more
chachos. Minus one shirt, the one that's on Ryan's back.
Right. You don't get to wear the shirt that Ryan's
wearing. We donated,
right,
and mind you guys, these are things that we decided, the rest of us were like, you know what, let's give this back to the readers. We don't need it. Ryan opened that bag and put that shirt right on his back.
I took the book, put that in his backpack.
I did.
Took a couple extra shirts.
I could wear a different Guild Wars shirt every
white
day.
One on Monday, black one on Tuesday.
I'll call this one Wednesday.
Okay, so we're going to read an excerpt from one reader's question, which, where did it go? No, I don't think we're going to read that one, right? It's not the one about doing cover stories. We're going to save that, because that's a big topic. We'll save that. It was this one. Okay, this comes from Fred the Flow Oliver, out in Kew Garden Hills, New York. Kew Gardens Hills, New York. And he asks, why aren't old games for dead systems, he's talking about console games, like the Sega Saturn and Dreamcast released to PC? Why aren't consumer-friendly emulators created to unlock discs to be played on desktops and laptops? Why doesn't your publication do more reviews on beat 'em up type games? Okay, well, that
all right.
You don't have to answer that.
That one's kind of random.
Yeah, that's kind of random. But what do we think about that?
Sorry, the flow.
Sorry, the
beat 'em up.
Sorry, Mr. The Flow.
Well, but the console games, old console games on PC.
Well,
good idea or not?
You can get plenty of old console games on PC.
You mean through emulators and MAME and stuff like that?
Right.
Not legally.
Well, what about like...
anyone remember Blame?
What about...
Sure.
That didn't go anywhere.
Well,
really,
it did go somewhere, but Sony shut it down.
Right.
I mean, like,
well,
that fully let... That,
right, it was legal for, like...
5 seconds.
I mean,
yeah.
His key word here, like, you know, why aren't consumer-friendly emulators created? Nobody really let it happen.
Maybe
well, actually,
we'll
that's
it
true.
Happen.
GameTap.
Okay.
Aha.
GameTap does that
that's
every
what
month.
I was going to ask you. Do you get Sega Genesis games and whatnot?
Sega Genesis. I think the only things you don't get are Nintendo games.
What about like Saturn and Dreamcast now? Are they up
yep.
to that?
And
Saturn,
they're on
Dreamcast.
PC?
So
yeah,
point the flow there. What's it got to go? GameTap.com?
Mr. The Flow. You go to GameTap and you sign up and you, I think it's what, $10 a month now? I think they just dropped their prices.
That's not a bad... Not a bad price, sir.
So you can like play Soul Calibur on your PC.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like all
really?
like old arcade games, old console games. I think they even have like PC games too. So like Beyond Good and Evil.
No one plays PC games.
Yeah, exactly. PC games are dead.
How do they play? You know, how does like a Soul Calibur play on the PC?
Well, you can map it out to a joypad, or it works on keyboard and mouse, and it has all the instructions right there. It's pretty basic, and I feel like I'm doing a commercial for them right now, but it does actually
game
work.
Tap, brought to you by Darren Gladstone.
Yes. Hi.
So that's the answer. The answer is you can do it.
You can, but you got to be willing to pay a monthly fee.
Right.
Maybe it's worth it.
Maybe we'll see now. I mean, it looks like with the Nintendo Wii, how they're calling it a virtual console, which basically means it's got a hard drive and you can buy crap on it. But, you know, we're seeing them cut deals with some of the main games for the TurboGrafx-16 and some old Sega games. And maybe we'll see an equivalent of that on PC where you pay per game. So rather than paying a monthly fee, you just pay, you know, 99 cents. I want, you know, 1942 or something.
So it's a total iTunes model, basically? Just kind of like...
Yeah, something like that. And the one exception, of course, you wouldn't see anything on there from Nintendo, first party or whatever. But why not? I mean, you see stuff like Capcom just started releasing console games, recent PS2 games for budget prices on PC, like Onimusha games. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why not go all the way back in their library and just make it dirt cheap and get it digitally?
And all the Dreamcast games, I mean, the system's dead, right?
Totally.
Why have those games?
Yeah, it's either that, either
rot.
Get money or let the guys go to, you know, Demonoid or wherever and get them for free, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The best answer I could say is go to GameTap for now, or just keep hitting the Wares sites, because...
What? Don't say that on air.
I mean, don't go to the Wares sites.
Thank you. We don't even know what Wares is here
Where
at CTW.
What?
Good Lord. We need some training at the staff here.
So we have another reader question.
Whoops.
Here.
We do. Okay, go ahead,
all right.
Ryan.
All right, this is from Laughter Kills Me. Kills with one L.
Okay.
Ooh. Kyle's.
Yeah. Laughter Kyle's Me asks,
right.
I have a more professional question for you.
Oh, good luck.
Is anybody on your staff a furry?
Ew.
What? Why do you bring these in, man? You're upsetting me. You're the one wearing the Guild Wars shirt. I'll let you answer that.
Yeah. Apparently you want it answered since you asked the question, Ryan.
What does
apparently you have something to say.
Oh, no.
Is this where you have yourself, Ryan?
No. I was just wondering about you guys.
But what does that mean? That means like I dress up like in a... Is that what it is?
High school mascot costume. You find it erotic to,
well,
to
I am
get
thoroughly
in a sweaty
confused.
Old...
I have no idea what the hell he's
well,
talking about.
Well, I have my Del Chipmunk really? Costume and I just kind of like roll out
people,
somewhere.
People with an affinity for animals. Put it that way.
Like bestiality sort of thing?
I don't think it quite goes that far. No.
Okay. Oh, but I dress up like an animal, and then someone else does something nasty to me because I'm dressed up like...
Okay, you know what?
You've been watching way too much CSI.
So
now I need to wash my hands.
Now I think I know what he's talking about.
We had a good question about how we choose our cover stories and the process by which we arrive at our features, but we opted instead to ask it.
To go with the...
Okay, let's wrap it on that.
What does that say about us? Next week, we're going to answer that serious question.
Jeff, let's hold it.
I did. So. Next week, we're going to talk about how we pick cover stories.
But for now, let's focus on furries.
Jeez. Right. Okay. We're done. We're so done. Thanks for listening. Okay, so we'll see you next week. Just a point of clarification. We're not yet doing that Guild Wars giveaway. We were talking about it, but we don't have the rules down yet.
Oh, next Monday is Memorial Day.
Hey, make us a theme song and just give it to them. That's fine.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, yeah.
Whoever comes with a theme song, and you get Guild Wars.
The coolest theme song. Feel free to sample any of our sound bites.
That's right.
From
you
the
can
show.
Sample any sound from any editor here.
Remix it.
Right, but or not, or just come up with some nice tune. And if we use your song as the podcast theme, you get what? Our eternal gratitude.
The Guild Wars Z-Board, man.
Guild Wars Z-Board.
A full package of CGW swag.
Signed by Darren and Pizza Grease. Or Ryan, in his case, since he's the Guild Wars guy.
And then Ryan's sweaty Guild Wars shirt.
Ew. Okay, we're done.
So that's the deal.
We'll see you, I guess, not next Monday, because that's Memorial Day, but maybe next Tuesday.
Or on the breakdown servers in AutoAssault.
Right, or the breakdown server and AutoAssault. Please keep Sean and Darren company. Yeah. They're lonely out
Watch
there.
Watch out. Yeah, yeah. Darren's vehicle is called the Bang Bus. And I think mine's the Roach Coach.
So sad. Okay, we'll see you guys in a week. Thanks for listening.